Welcome to Beyond the Numbers. I am Dr. Karthik Chivukula, Senior Medical Director at Eli Lilly and Company, and I will be your host for today. In our previous episode, we explored experiences and research on weight bias and weight stigma, and the impact that these can have on the effectiveness of clinical interactions among clinicians and people with type 2 diabetes and higher weight. We talked about choosing patient-preferred language when discussing body weight, such as using the preferred term of higher weight instead of excess weight during clinical interactions. We also discussed proactive solutions that both clinicians and people with type 2 diabetes can adopt to have more productive conversations. I encourage you to listen to the Weight Bias in Type 2 Diabetes episode for more information on today's topic. In this episode, we will discuss ways that clinicians and people with type 2 diabetes and higher weight can have more effective weight management conversations during clinic visits. We will explore why these conversations are challenging to begin with. We will examine what the ADA, or American Diabetes Association, guidelines recommend about weight management conversations. And we will discuss best practices for navigating these conversations. To provide us with expert insights into these topics today, I'm joined by Dr. Rebecca Poole and Dr. Liz Kopko. Thank you both so much for joining us for this second episode.
Thank you for having me again.
Thank you, Karthik. I'm looking forward to another engaging conversation.
Those of you who previously listened to the Weight Bias episode already know Rebecca and Liz. But for our new listeners, let's start with some brief introductions. Rebecca, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
It's nice to see you again, Karthik. My name is Rebecca Poole, and I'm a professor of human development and family sciences at the University of Connecticut. I began doing research on weight stigma more than 20 years ago, and my work has documented the prevalence and origins of weight bias and discrimination, assessed the pervasiveness and impact of weight stigma in the media, and examined the effects of weight bias on emotional and physical health.
And my name is Liz Kopko. I'm a writer, speaker, and advocate for individuals living with diabetes. I've been living with type 2 diabetes since 2014. I have a PhD in cellular and molecular biology and spent my early career studying insulin signaling in invertebrates. Currently, I use my scientific background to create educational resources for the diabetes community and serve as a health coach and health advocate.
Thank you both. Let's dive right into today's topic, which focuses on effective conversations about weight management in people with type 2 diabetes and higher weight. Having conversations about weight can be hard for both patients and clinicians. Starting with you, Rebecca, I'm curious about the insights your research has gathered. Why do you think clinicians are hesitant to have weight conversations with their patients?
I think we need to first understand why the challenge exists at all. And there are several reasons why clinicians might be hesitant to talk about weight management with their patients in general, and in our case, specifically those with type 2 diabetes and higher body weight. First, clinicians vary in how much training, knowledge, or expertise they have regarding current evidence-based practices for weight management. When they have less confidence in information and tools to share with patients or recommend to them, they may be more hesitant to initiate a discussion. Second, they may be aware that body weight is a sensitive topic for many patients, so they avoid discussing the topic in an effort to avoid patients feeling uncomfortable or shamed. And finally, productive conversations about weight management can take time that clinicians often do not have in a single appointment with a patient. All of these reasons can contribute to their reluctance to approach weight management conversations proactively.
That's really great context on why clinicians may face challenges to initiate and have these conversations. We know that there's another side of the conversation, though, the patients. So my follow-up question is for you, Liz. From your perspective as a person with type 2 diabetes, could you share some of the reasons why patients may be hesitant to have conversations about weight management with their clinicians?
Absolutely. Similar to what Rebecca shared about clinician perspectives, people with type 2 diabetes and higher weight have multiple reasons why they may avoid conversations about weight management. A person with type 2 diabetes may have had bad experiences or feelings of shame or embarrassment during previous conversations around weight management with their doctor. As a result of these past negative experiences, they may not feel that clinical encounters with a doctor are a safe space to discuss such a sensitive topic. Another reason for reluctance could be that patients have discussed weight management with their doctor several times previously, and they were told the same thing repeatedly, to just lose weight. Patients may be afraid of starting new medications due to their higher weight, and as a result of this fear or apprehension, they purposely avoid having weight-related conversations. Additionally, a person might not feel culturally seen. They may fear that a conversation about weight management may require them to give up their cultural foods, and they may not want to do that. And finally, another sensitive issue could be that that person has not weighed themselves in a long time, and getting on the scale can be very anxiety-inducing. Because of this anxiety, the person might not want to know what their current weight is, so they avoid the conversation with doctors altogether.
Those are all very thought-provoking reasons for a reluctance to have the conversation, both from the patient's and the clinician's point of view. It seems like not having the conversation about weight makes getting the most out of a visit even more challenging. Liz, have you had a clinical interaction that felt like this? What happened that made you feel unsupported? And did this experience impact your management of type 2 diabetes?
Sure. What I remember as particularly unhelpful was when my doctor did not ask me what I was doing to lose weight or if losing weight was even my goal. It was not a discussion at all. He simply stated that I was overweight and needed to lose weight. I was just told losing weight would help without any explanation about exactly how that would help my diabetes management. I was not given any supportive options. I was not asked about any obstacles or lack of resources that may have been contributing to making losing weight more difficult. The power dynamic was discouraging. The doctor just stated directives. That shut down any possible conversation that would have been actually helpful.
Liz brings up an excellent point here. It is so important that clinicians work as a team with the person who has type 2 diabetes and higher weight when navigating conversations around weight management and to approach the topic in a sensitive manner, free of judgment or blame.
That is such an important point about the need for collaboration. This type of approach has been successful with my patients as well. Rebecca, could you give us some practical examples of navigating weight management conversations in a sensitive and supportive manner?
Yes, we need to understand that there are several things to consider here. It is helpful to first ask the patient's permission to talk about weight. One way to do this is to start by asking, "Would it be okay for us to talk about your weight today?" Or, "How are you feeling about your weight at this time?" It is also important to validate the patient's experience. This can be done through the use of motivational interviewing approaches. Rather than telling a patient to lose weight, focus goal setting on specific and measurable health behaviors that the patient can engage in to improve their weight-related health. A few examples of this include encouraging the patient to replace sugary drinks with water, or to try to engage in physical activity on a daily basis, or to increase servings of vegetables at mealtime. The clinician should also help the patient identify potential barriers to these goals and discuss ways to address those barriers. It is so important to help patients feel supported in their weight management goals because patients who feel supported are more likely to be successful.
Thank you for putting that together in such a simple and effective manner, Rebecca. Ideally, clinicians should strive to have constructive conversations with their patients and avoid using harsh or insensitive language during clinical interactions. Can we discuss some subtle behaviors that clinicians may perceive as innocuous, but that could have a negative impact on their patients?
I'm glad you brought that up, Karthik. The words we use to talk about weight can reinforce stigma and bias, which can contribute to those negative clinical experiences we talked about earlier. Even if it is unintentional, clinicians may use language during a clinical conversation that makes patients feel uncomfortable. So we need to think carefully about the words and language that we use. What makes this even more complicated is that there are diverse opinions, perspectives, and preferences for the words and language we use to refer to someone's body weight, some of which are perceived to be stigmatizing and shaming.
That issue of diversity is such a crucial point, Rebecca. One thing I've learned by advocating for the diabetes community is how diverse it really is. We are people of all shapes and sizes, and like you said, with diverse opinions and perspectives. The community also includes people who do things that go against the stereotypes, like running a half marathon, biking, cooking, activities that are all about taking care of ourselves. When doctors engage with us as the individuals that we are, instead of as stereotypes, we feel supported and have much stronger interactions with better communication.
I agree. Clinicians should be intentional and thoughtful during conversations with their patients, respecting their diverse backgrounds. Speaking of being sensitive, the ways clinicians talk about eating patterns or behaviors can also be unintentionally insensitive and may contribute to weight stigma. For example, talking to patients about making excuses or cheating with their food intake conveys personal blame and judgment. Similarly, telling patients to be more disciplined or resist temptations with food also communicates blame. So instead of using these kinds of phrases, focus on communicating with more supportive language. One possibility is to craft the conversation around strategies to minimize triggers with eating or ways to cope with emotions that interfere with eating. You could also use phrases like ways to practice healthy habits as part of daily routines.
I understand how this could be a particularly challenging area to navigate. Could you elaborate on what you found people actually prefer in your research on language?
We've done a series of research studies examining people's language preferences regarding body weight in adults, and we consistently find that people prefer neutral language when discussing their weight, especially in the context of how healthcare professionals talk to patients. Examples of neutral words include words like weight, high body weight, or unhealthy weight. The words that people dislike the most are words like fat and obese, which many people view as negative, stigmatizing, and shaming. However, I should point out that people's preferences for how others talk about their weight can vary depending on factors like their gender, race or ethnicity, and body size. So we need to be careful to avoid assumptions about what words to use and be aware that there is considerable diversity in people's preferences. Currently, there is not a universally accepted phrase or term that everyone is comfortable with. So, as you mentioned, Karthik, this can make the conversations incredibly challenging. What we recommend to clinicians is to default to using neutral terminology, but ask patients what words or language they feel most comfortable using when discussing their body weight. Then use the patient's preferred words so that clinicians are approaching the conversation in a more supportive and respectful way. For example, they could approach this by saying, "People have different preferences when it comes to how they describe their weight. What words would make you feel most comfortable as we talk about your weight?"
These are some really great strategies and recommendations, and I can appreciate how they could help a patient feel more supported. With this in mind, Liz, I would love to hear your take on what Rebecca just shared. What was the language used during positive interactions that you had with your clinician that would make you feel supported?
My experiences definitely resonate with what Rebecca mentioned, and those types of supportive conversations can certainly empower us as patients. After the negative experiences I shared earlier, I have found a new and supportive healthcare team. I felt the most supported when my doctor talked about weight management as a component of a more holistic management of my type 2 diabetes care, as opposed to only focusing on weight loss. Additionally, she let me be the one to initiate the conversation around weight management. She asked what I was currently doing to manage my weight instead of assuming I was doing nothing. She explained her recommendations thoroughly, including explaining the medication options I had. And finally, she asked me what I wanted to do. We came up with a weight management plan together, and I was able to be actively involved in my own care. I did not feel shamed or blamed. I was not just a number on the scale that was good or bad. In fact, she approached the topic in a way that made me feel like I could put my guard down and actually have a conversation that was productive. She also validated the point that losing weight is not easy, especially with type 2 diabetes, so that removed feelings of being blamed or feeling that it was my fault. I felt empowered. I think the key is that it works better when the patient drives the topic of weight conversations. I would be okay if my doctor asked if weight management was a concern or a goal of mine. I would prefer that question rather than having the clinician state that my weight is a big problem from the outset. Then, if the clinician would provide a thorough explanation of why my weight should be addressed, that would also help tremendously.
Thank you, Liz. To summarize what you just shared for our listeners, words matter. The choice of words or phrases can be especially important when it comes to addressing sensitive topics and how they're received by patients. There are diverse preferences when it comes to what words should be used when discussing weight management. It's important to engage with the patient to understand their individual preferences and use the terms they would like to use when discussing weight management. I think now we can take a closer look at what professional societies, like the ADA, recommend in the guidelines for the care of patients with type 2 diabetes with regard to managing weight conversations. Rebecca, if I can turn to you, could you please share some key takeaways when it comes to best practices?
Sure, there are some great resources available. I would encourage clinicians to reference the ADA's published guideline, Obesity and Weight Management for the Prevention and Treatment of Type 2 Diabetes, which covers the ADA's current clinical practice recommendations. This guideline contains helpful suggestions for how to navigate weight management conversations with patients in a sensitive manner. These include recommendations to use a person-centered communication style with person-centered language and active listening, elicit patient preferences and beliefs, and examine potential barriers to care. Also, individualize the patient's treatment plan. Similar to what Liz described in her own experience, the ADA recommends that patients and clinicians engage in a shared decision-making process when it comes to creating a weight management plan. And conduct a comprehensive medical evaluation. We often hear from patients that doctors blame their higher weight for other clinical problems that may arise, even when the other clinical issues are not weight-related. So it's important that clinicians conduct a comprehensive evaluation and reassure patients that they are assessing a broad range of factors that may be contributing to their health. Another recommendation from the ADA is that clinicians consider that if a patient is going to be weighed during a particular clinical encounter, to be aware that many patients feel embarrassment, shame, and distress when being weighed. Ensure that medical staff who are weighing patients have been trained to weigh patients in a sensitive manner and in a private location. And finally, clinicians should consider assessing symptoms of diabetes distress, depression, anxiety, and disordered eating at the initial visit and at periodic intervals. Experienced or internalized stigma around weight can worsen these health indices, and it is important that clinicians understand how stigma contributes to poor emotional and physical health.
Thank you for outlining these helpful guideline recommendations, Rebecca. These can provide a great formal reference for clinicians looking to better support their patients. Liz, I would love to know your thoughts on what the guidelines recommend to clinicians.
I think all of what Rebecca just described aligns with what I have personally found to be helpful in my past experiences with doctors. I would also add that it is important to take a step back and remember that for a person with type 2 diabetes and higher weight, it is essential to not forget about the overall goals related to type 2 diabetes in addition to the weight management goals. Once I focused on activities and habits that would actually help me reach diabetes-related goals, like time in range or my hemoglobin A1C levels, that actually led to me losing weight as a byproduct of focusing on my overall health in a comprehensive way.
That's definitely a key point for clinicians to bear in mind. Thank you both so much for the educational discussion today. I appreciate you sharing your experiences and insights to help us dive deeply into this important topic and discuss specific recommendations. In summary, today, we discussed that approaching conversations around weight management can be extremely challenging for both clinicians and people with type 2 diabetes and higher weight. We learned about several excellent recommendations for specific types of language to use in those clinical conversations that can help create a safe environment for patients that leaves them feeling empowered, not ashamed or judged. And we explored what the ADA guidelines recommend to make clinical encounters as effective as possible for both clinicians and patients. I know I have personally learned a lot from this discussion, and I hope our listeners have as well. Thank you, Rebecca and Liz, for your excellent insights today. And thank you to our listeners for joining us for this episode of Beyond the Numbers.
Thank you, Karthik.
Thank you.